This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's six-pack this thing. Let's get the storylines laid out. It's Patriots-Texans. It's Patriots-Texans noon kickoff in New England. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. You can hear Texans countdown beginning at 9 a.m. with me and Seth C. Payne.
Old Sethers.
The old Sethers, and then me and Stern Dog after the game, Clint Sterner, till 6:30, till Sunday night football on Sunday. So big day Sunday. The Texans trying to go 5-1. Seth, they're trying to do this in a place where they have never walked out victorious. They've never had a fun flight home from Providence, Rhode Island before.
Ever? The Texans have never
they're
won 0-7
in New England lifetime. Yes. 0-7.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
You want some more facts? 0-7. Never been a favorite, and they've lost by an average of 18 points.
Hey, shut up.
Oh, what? I don't know. You think I'm making this up? No, I did the research. No.
Did I do this research?
No.
Can I trust this research?
No, you can trust it. It's mine.
See, that's the kind of stat I would research, and you'd hear it. I would say it, and you'd be like, all right, Seth. No. All right.
I can almost name the scores. That's how scarred I am in my head.
Wait, an average of 18 points.
They lost in 2006 there, 40-7. This is all straight out of my head. You're looking at the rundown. This is not on the rundown.
Yeah.
They lost the Letterman jacket game in 2012.
I don't know what you're talking about.
42-14. They then, a few weeks later, lost a playoff game there, 41-28.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
That was kind of a close game for three quarters.
It was, yeah.
The Texans, that was like one of the best performances any team had had versus the Patriots that year through three quarters.
They were down five, and the 2012 playoff game. Then the playoff game with Brock Osweiler.
That's the one. Oh, sorry.
You're thinking of that one. That was a 5-point game late in the third quarter, and Will Fuller had a deep ball go right through his hands. And then
Tom Brady had a – Tom Brady just threw up a prayer of a potential pick six that ended up being a reception.
Yeah.
Because Brock Osweiler almost – Jadeveon Clowney was magnificent in that game.
He was, yeah.
For three quarters.
He was. They were moving Clowney and Merciless over the nose in that
to
game?
To the over, yeah. That was the big one where, like, hey, looks like the antidote for
– Yep.
Tom Brady is to have a freakish human being rush up the middle and
That's
put
it,
pressure
man.
In his face.
Well, it's a brave new world now because the Texans are headed up there 4-1. The Patriots are 1-4, and the Texans are a 7-point favorite in this game without their best player. They lost their best player to a hamstring injury.
I won't be happy unless they win by at least 18 points. They need to start offsetting this horrendous, ridiculous deficit they have.
They need to win by exactly 18 points just to symbolically show the Patriots, like, yeah, we're here now. This is our world now.
Yeah.
21-3. That should be the final score. All right. Let's get to the six-pack here. We start with number one. So let's start there with Nico. No Nico in this game. So now what? Here was Bobby Slowick yesterday. Who steps up with no Nico Collins?
You know, Nico is a guy that is really irreplaceable. You know, I think he's been playing probably the best ball of his career. I think right now he was, I'd say for us, he was the best receiver in the NFL and what he was doing. And you know, you can't replace that. But at the same time, we got a room full of guys that are hungry, that want to go in, they want to get their ops. I think Hutch did a great job in the game. after Nico went out. He took advantage of his ops. He showed up in the run game. He works every single day. Obviously, you have Metch, you have Woody, you have Sims. I mean, we got a lot of guys that can go out, that can play, and that can function. So we have full confidence that we'll just keep rolling.
You know, so many.
That's good, Ben. We're good. That's good.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So many of the times that you see Stephon Diggs, you know, get something underneath, it's when, okay, he lines up on the same side as Nico. Nico runs a deep ball. Things are open up underneath for Stephon Diggs. He's been very, very good underneath and on the intermediate and stuff and all that. But there are also examples of when it's Tank Dell that's running the deep route, and that opens it up for Stephon Diggs. I don't want to call it an embarrassment of riches, but they still have very menacing threats in the wide receiving corps.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a little bit different, and ultimately maybe it's for the greater good if they do have to kind of target people differently, get the tight ends more involved. But there is still a dynamic on the team where you've got kind of like back when you used to have Will Fuller that would open things up for DeAndre Hopkins underneath. You still have that with Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs.
I agree.
Just not as potent and scary and powerful to a defense is when Nico Collins is on the field, but you still do have that dynamic.
Yeah, I would say half the teams in the league would still swap their top three receivers and tight end for the Texans' top three receivers and tight end, even without Nico Collins.
I think we're in a weird place where it's kind of like, well, okay, Nico Collins has been the best thing going offensively for this team other than C.J. Stroud, and yet Nico Collins goes out, and the thing I'm still most concerned about is, all right, can they start running the ball with consistency?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can they really? I'm not as worried about Nico Collins as can you run the ball consistently to help out Nico Collins when he returns and everybody else.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to the second one then. Possible Joe Mixon return. Joe Mixon practiced yesterday. Here was Mixon, a little exchange with the media. How is he feeling? What's the likelihood he's back on Sunday?
I felt good, man. Obviously, been pretty much going back and forth with training staff. Figure out when I'm going to get back and when I'm going to start being able to participate in certain things. So, felt good.
It's a step. Do you think it's enough of a step that Sunday you have some optimism, or is it a little soon?
I think we'll probably go through practice tomorrow, see what's going on, and obviously us come up with a decision on whether to go or whether to just wait another week.
All right, that audio courtesy of Aaron Wilson's Twitter feed yesterday. How you feeling on this after hearing that audio, Seth?
I don't feel awesome about it. It feels like they're just in touch and go. When somebody's had an injury as long as this, I think it's hard to do this, but you got to err on the side of conservatism. You got to be, you just don't want him to go out there before they feel 100% solid with it, have him aggravated again, and then boom, he's out for another 5 or 6 weeks. So I feel like that, just by him talking about the way they're feeling it out, it feels like this is kind of this is the week before the week they make a decision.
I'm with you, especially when he specifies, see if I get held out one more week. You know, clearly there's been a conversation internally about, okay, this is New England, and then we got Green Bay the next week.
Feels a little bit like you're taking the PSATs before the actual SATs. Mm-hmm. You're just like, all right, let's see, let's diagnose exactly whether you actually can go to college or not.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is even a goal this week.
That's the New England Patriots. They're the PSATs.
You're the PSATs.
There
is that
go.
Still a thing? Do they still do PSATs?
I think so. That's what decides the National Merit Scholars is the PSAT and not the SAT.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
I
was going through a rough stretch at home and was like, I was having a rough semester in high school, and I also, like, at the same time, because I did well on my PSATs.
Yeah.
I got one of those awards, and I remember my the nerds in my class.
The hell's he
like,
doing
what
up
the
here?
Hell? What?
What the hell is he up on this stage for? I'm not going to tell him to move. He's really big. All right, let's keep it moving. Number three in the six-pack. There's no audio with this one. This is just another plea from me, I'm sure from Seth and many other Texan fans, to you Texans. Just no silly stuff. None of the silly gaga that keeps these bad teams in games. No block punts. We haven't seen any of those since week one. No muffed punts. We haven't seen that since Steven Sims got benched. You took the penalties down from 12 to like 7 or 8 last week. That's better. You can do better than 7 or 8, but let's, baby steps. CJ, I can't believe I have to drag you into this conversation, but no fourth quarters with multiple turnovers and intentional grounding penalties.
Yeah, what the hell, CJ?
Yeah. I preface by saying I can't believe I've got to take my favorite son and actually have to spank him here because he's usually a model citizen usually.
You know, the thing about that fumble that CJ had where ultimately he's responsible for it, and yet at the same time, Tytus Howard just blocked your dude. And
yeah,
you know, Blake Fisher. Apologies, Tytus Howard. Blake Fisher just blocked your dude. But because I went back and I was watching some of the plays that CJ made under pressure in that game, and he is really good with his ball security in the pocket. He holds it high in front of him with two hands.
Yep.
That one throw that he had made while he was getting hit in the face to Stephon Diggs off to the right.
Incredible.
You can see him working through the traffic in the pocket with his hands both clutching the ball held out in front of him. Like, he's smart about that. So that was a little bit flukish. It's going to happen at times.
Oh, yeah.
The interception was the one that's on CJ.
He knows.
Great play by the defender, but I'm not worried that all of a sudden CJ is going to become a turnover
machine. Yeah, I shouldn't have even brought CJ into the conversation because that's just regular football stuff and that's not a trend. I'm talking about the silly stuff that hands 7 points to the other team.
I would say even silly stuff like Robert Woods, as awesome as he was in the return game, also, hey, let's not go out of our ways to field the ball on the 2 yard line
stuff
on a
like
punt.
That. Yeah,
That's the
Patriots cannot win this game. The Texans can lose this game. The Patriots cannot go and win this game.
Did he fair catch it on the two?
No, he tried to return it.
He tried to return it.
Yes, he tried to return it. All right, number four, kill the rookie. I'm just three words: kill the rookie.
Kill him. Kill him dead. Make him question whether he should have gone into tennis or not.
Here is Dan Orlovsky on ESPN yesterday on NFL Live. I think it was yesterday. It was earlier this week. It was after they named Drake May the starter up in New England. I think he's a legit concern for Drake May's safety.
When I think about their defense, the word that becomes apparent is just overwhelming. One, overwhelming lockdown coverage. I mean, guys, they're going to play man coverage, and they're really good at it across the board in physical. They are fast at the second level with their linebackers. That's going to be a challenge for New England, who hasn't gotten open downfield much. Second thing, guys, these linebackers play downhill and violent. So, yes, New England has a good run game. But this group of backers down in Houston is physical, and they can get after you in the ring. And watch Toto back here. Just bang. You're talking about a group physically that plays at a violent level. Everybody on this defense tackles. One of the things that New England wants to do is get the ball to the unblocked defender. J-Mac, you know this. Some secondaries in the NFL, they don't want to tackle. Not in Houston. And then this pass rush will get after you. And again, to Mike Reese's point, this offensive line has been in flux in New England, and they've been poor. So the challenge for Drake May, you're going against the Houston team that is violent and overwhelming on defense.
Yeah. My favorite part of that is the group of linebackers. I'm like, well, there's two of them.
There are only two.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a group of two.
Other than the one rep Neville Hewitt has taken at linebacker this year, they've had only two linebackers.
Now, I agree with what he's saying. Like, Toa and Azeez have been bringing the funk this year, man. Like, so I agree with that. It's just funny to categorize it as a group. Like, well, it's basically just two guys.
It is, though. The physicality of the defensive backs is a calling card of this defense, and it's good. They've had some lapses with their cornerbacks coming up and playing the run, but it's not because of a lack of want to. They just got a little sloppy a couple weeks ago. They cleaned it up last week. So, I want to see CJ going out and giving advice to Drake at the end of the game.
Yes.
In kind of a backhanded way where he says, hey, don't worry about all those egregious mistakes you made. Keep your chin up.
Can you imagine if CJ's just like, bro, you got to demand a trade. You got to get out of here. That's his advice. You got no linemen. You got no receivers. You got to get out of here.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. All right, let's number five, I don't know how this impacts the game. I think it's fun that Nick Caserio is returning for his first regular season trip to New England. I know they went in the preseason a couple years ago. I was thinking about this yesterday. I need to go back and see what the reaction in New England was when Caserio took the Houston job, took the GM job. Because my guess is there were probably a lot of people up there that were like, "Phew, good luck with all that." You know, like that he was taking. That was I know you remember 2021. This organization was not in a good place, and that was and that was before Deshaun got in, you know, got all the lawsuits and everything else. I wonder what they were saying back then, because now he's taking one of the four or five best teams in football back up there. Like, hey man, I'm a local boy. I've done good for myself here.
Look, you know? We did Ted Johnson. We're having Ted Johnson on at 9 a.m. and we had him on a couple years ago, and Ted was almost kind of, you know, just kind of, he was having fun with it, but he was like, "We talk about you guys a lot, like just what a mess it is down there and everything." Yeah. And I was like, at the time, I was like, "All right, well, listen, it's not like you guys are like, all right, it's not the bastion and the heyday that it once was up there." Now I think we can really gloat at Ted's expense.
That's why we're bringing him on at 9 o'clock is to really gloat with him. Yeah, that's
we can gloat while he's not in the same room as us.
That's right. Yeah, that's the key. That's the key. Yeah. All right, last.
Because he's still very, very fit.
He is. Yeah. He's in good,
looks like
dude. He doesn't look real. Like he does. He looks computer generated. 27-13 is my prediction for this game. Texans 27, Patriots 13.
There's a couple things I need to do. I want to check on a couple things before I give my prediction at the end of the show.
Okay.
Last week I've got a lot of pressure on me because I was so close.
You were spot on, dude. Not just the score, but like how the game was going to go. You know?
Yeah. I had predicted 20-19, which is a weird score to predict. At one point, though, in the fourth quarter, it was 20-17 with the Texans backed up in their own end zone.
It's almost like you paid Robert Woods to field that punt right there, so you would be right. That's how they wound up back there. All right, so 27-13 is my prediction. Seth will have his later in the show.
I've got the Texans winning, but there's just one little thing I want to figure out.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll get to headlines coming up next. Top of the hour, Bobby Slowick explaining end of game decisions. We'll also stack the card for this weekend around the NFL. It's an interesting weekend of football here in week 6. 7:20, Circle of Swarm. The pressure is on Payne and Pendergast to get this one right. Headlines coming up next. Stay there.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.